And welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. This is Garth Nelson.
And Jen Barr.
Your hosts, your regular hosts for the ReachMahjong.pod. ReachMahjong.pod. Yeah, there I go again. New names and everything.
Dude, slow down.
Yes, I gotta slow down. Now that I've got the mic all closer to my face so you can hear me, now I guess I have to be a little more careful about what I'm saying. Yes, it's been a rather slow week, I think, in the world of Mahjong. No?
I don't know. I had plenty of Mahjong.
You had plenty of Mahjong?
Going on, yeah.
You said you had Women's League. We'll get to that in a second.
Yep.
Did you work at Sen Tenbo at all this week?
Yep.
You worked at Sen Tenbo in Kinshichou?
Yep.
How'd you do?
I did good, actually, for once.
Yeah.
For once in my life.
Very nice, very nice. Do you remember anything stand out? Any big hands? Any small hands? Any funny games?
No, nothing in particular stood out. The week before, on Friday, so the day after we did the podcast last week,
uh-huh.
I actually worked at Yokosuka,
uh-huh.
And my second hand, I dealt into a 13 orphans.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah, and then I had another hand where I discarded the dealer's reach winner, and he ended up, it was the white dragon,
uh-huh.
And the Uradora, hidden Dora was the white dragon, so he had three of those.
Ouch.
So it was supposed to be like...
It should have just been like a 2,000-point hand, but it ended up becoming...
It should have been probably 3,900 or 7,700, because I dealt on the first discard, so it's like Ippatsu, but...
Because of those three, then it becomes Hanuman, 18,000.
Yeah, 18,000 points.
Yeah. Yeah, God, that's that is a pisser.
Yeah,
that
but I still... And then after that, I came back, so I won back everything I lost.
Oh, nice.
So that was good. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, so it sounds like you're not running too badly.
No.
I had another pretty good day at Sen Tenbo in Ochanomizu.
Mm.
2 weeks ago, I had like the most amazing day ever, and then it was followed by nearly one of my most amazing bad days ever at Sen Tenbo in Kinshichou. And then this week again, I go back to Ochanomizu, and again I had a 6-game winning streak.
Wow, nice.
Which is, you know, just short of my 7-game winning streak from the other time. And actually, my first game of the day, I was in first place, and then on the very last hand, the dealer, Renchan, he got like 3 dealer hands in a row to overtake me for first place.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only game in that 14-game streak that I did not win. Because the next 6 games at Sen Tenbo I won. Mm-hmm. So they were talking about me having like a 14-game winning streak, even though they were sort of on purpose forgetting that first game of the day. And then that guy who's a student at some nearby university came back in the early evening, or late afternoon, early evening, to play another few games,
mm-hmm.
and beat me again 4 games in a row. So that the games that guy played against me are the only games I did not win that day. And every single one of them he won by reaching and then getting hidden doras. God, it was so annoying. I took second in every single one of those games except for the very last game.
Mm.
So, yeah. 4 games, 4 second places, and then 1 last place. No, 1 third place. I didn't even take a last place. Just 1 third place. So my current standings at Ochanomizu, they keep punching in the numbers, and they're like, oh, wow, he wins like 65% of the time.
Oh, that's funny.
And then my, let's see, what was it? How do you say it? Like, your Wiiteru, like, my first and second places was like 95% of the time. He only loses like 5% of the time.
That would be nice.
It was. It's been a pretty amazing couple of sessions at Sen Tenbo and Ochanomizu. And then I wonder, what is the difference between that place and Kinshichou? I have a really terrible time lately at Kinshichou. I cannot win.
Maybe it really just is your opponents.
Yes, or it's the Ultima.
Oh, they don't have Ultima at Ochanomizu.
They do not.
Oh, wow.
And I really have to say, I hate those Ultima machines. I really, really hate them.
So if you don't know, the Ultima is where the hands actually come up already dealt from the table.
Mm, there's no need for us to press the dice because the hand comes up right like that. There's no decision making for me at all, even though I don't believe that there's any of that real decision making. But still, it's just something, it doesn't feel quite right. And I do still feel like people get to ready hands faster on Ultima tables than on other tables. And, you know, a lot of people seem to believe that the Ultima tables are not very good at shuffling. And I know Kamimura, our boss, has tested. He has actually run tests. He would separate all the tiles out into characters, bamboos, and dots, and, you know, put them all on one side, this side, that side, and the other, and then, you know, throw them in individually, like throw this side in, and then throw the next in on top, and then throw the next in on top. And so they, you know, they're pretty well still sorted.
Right.
And then, you know, he pressed the button, saw what came up, and he said they were really well mixed up. So he is convinced that there is no non-mixing, that there is good enough shuffling in
right.
in the Ultimas.
And but you're not convinced.
I am not convinced. And, you know, I mean, after having seen this happen enough and wondering, you know, and looking at the kind of places that do have Ultima tables, especially lately, it's like a lot of East-only round places that want to get games in as much as possible.
Right.
These are also, you know, the thing about East-only, and one of the reasons it's more popular is because it is more about luck. Okay. It is more about, you know, you're playing. You have a much shorter amount of time to win the game. So it means that the people that are going to win the game are the people who are luckier in a small amount of time.
Right.
It's a lot less competition-oriented and more just, well, go for it. And the kind of players that are going to play at a game like that are players that, you know, maybe are not so good at putting a hand together. If they start off with tiles that are already close to a ready hand,
right.
they have a much better chance of having a fun time playing at that Mahjong parlor.
Oh, I see.
And I really wonder if there wouldn't be something as unbelievably nefarious as the Ultima table makers saying, you know what? Why don't we have some chips in here to set up hands so that they come out a little bit more?
I think you are really.
I am a conspiracy theorist,
too
but you know.
Skeptic.
But these things, it's not surprising. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me when you hear about some of the stuff that goes on other times. There are tables that like the Yakuza guys have. They can press a button somewhere and blam, it'll come up Yakuman for them. Limit hands. That's a relatively well-known trick.
I don't know. I know the owner of Autobahn. Alban, who manufactures the tables, and I really don't see that happening.
I mean, it does seem
obviously I could be wrong, but
fairly unlikely, but I mean, come on. A lot of people think that the tiles are not well shuffled.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't notice a difference.
Huh.
When I was playing in Yokosuka, actually it was one of the days that you told me that, and I was playing in Yokosuka, I swear I could reach on the fifth discard, someone would win on the sixth.
Right, because people are ready faster.
It's not the Ultima tables.
Oh.
That's not using Ultima tables, I'm saying.
See what I mean?
Yokosuka doesn't have Ultima tables, they have, old tables.
All right, so there's an example of of how it happens elsewhere too, and I've also had a lot of players tell me too when I complain about that, they say kinose, which in Japanese in English that would mean something like, you know, it's just your feeling that's not really connected to reality.
You're thinking too much about it.
Yes, okay. It's what I'm focusing on instead of focusing on the reality of the situation, which is just that I don't really know what I'm doing.
Well, I just think that you're going to be, you're everyone's going to have the same advantage or disadvantage. It's not going to change.
Well, but it does give weaker players an advantage because their hand is already put together. So it takes away.
Yours.
Well, no, but it takes away my advantage of being a person as who I think is better at putting a hand together. And one of the things that I like to do is, even though somebody has put a hand together faster than I have, I still want to attack because I think that the hand that they've put together is probably cheap enough so that even if I do throw into those hands sometimes, I can still make it on a better put together hand that I have. But if people are starting with already really expensive hands put together by the machine, then it decreases my ability to fight back later. You really just have to fold every single time people reach.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that you're really a bit too skeptical about it.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Every time you think that people are playing on the up and up, you find out people here and there were cheating. So.
You're talking about the poker statement.
Yes, we're
I made
just talking about
ago.
Poker. Yes, but it's always and when you hear about people cheating, it's always like a big surprise, and then you think, and then later I think, well, guys, why is that such a big surprise? I hear about people cheating all the time, and there is money involved. Why would people not cheat? Okay, well, that's enough about enough blabbering about how I don't like Ultima tables.
Yeah, and just for the record, you're not saying that Ultima tables are cheating tables. They just might give weaker players an advantage in
yes.
your opinion.
That is my opinion, and it's an entirely untested and unproven opinion. it's totally, totally hearsay.
Yes.
I could just be talking out something besides my mouth. let's see. So, other stuff that happened this week. You played in Women's League. How'd you do this week?
I did okay.
Okay. I think you said you got a late penalty for...
I was supposed to.
Oh.
It's not on
Oh,
that's
there. Right. It's not did registered.
Right.
Lately, we are not being so successful at getting to League on time.
Yeah. I saw the train. I was at the train doors when they closed.
Oh.
I could have stuck my arm in there.
But you decided not to pull the dirty train trick.
Well, I thought that the guy might look at me because I could see him.
Oh, the guy closing the door?
Yeah, so I thought he might see me and see how like desperate I was to ride. And he did see me.
And he said, ha-ha, look at this.
Yeah, so when he came by with his little head sticking out, I put my arms up and I was like, what?
I thought you were going to give him a little slap and just hold your hand
no,
up.
No, 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 no. I'm not... That ballsy, no.
So let's see. I think your score was a +3, which puts you kind of firmly in the middle of the field. Yeah.
Right. Probably there's still three more sessions.
Uh-huh.
As long as I keep it up.
At the top of B League, where you are, is Shirakawa. I'm not sure which girl that is. Below her, in third place, is Kozue, looking to move back up into A League. Which is currently being headed by Shimizu Kaori, another friend of ReachMahjong.com.
Yeah.
Way to go, Kaori. She's in first place with, I think, about 77 points, which puts her just in front of number two was Hojo, yes. So let's see, that was Women's League. Did you have any notable hands there from Women's League?
Man... Oh, there was one hand. I got ready with four concealed triples twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two times in one session.
Yeah, and I was playing... One time I reached and everybody... I don't know if they folded, but it ended up as a draw.
Uh-huh.
The hand was a draw. And then the second time I reached and I was waiting for the white dragon and something else, and Mommy threw out the white dragon right away.
Oh.
So that was...
12,000
points.
Yes. Reach, and then the white dragon, and then three concealed triples and four triples.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't dealer. The first time I was dealer, I think.
Oh, wow, that would have been gigantic.
Yeah.
48,000 points.
So, yep. So I won that hand, and I ended up... Actually, after the first three games, I was doing really well.
Mm.
In the last game, I just completely lost concentration. And I couldn't finish.
Do you remember the last time you won a limit hand?
I should.
I was just thinking. It feels like it's been a really long time. And it just came up the other day because when I was interviewing Mommy, who you were just talking about, for the pro interview this month. If any of you happen to be reading Japanese, you can check out the our Pro Association JPML's website for an interview I did with Osanai Mami. And she actually remembered a hand that we had. Well, it was the very first hand of League this session, and I drew four concealed triples. And she remembered the whole hand, too. It was like I also had Honnitsu in the hand, so even if somebody had thrown it, it was already going to be Baemon 16,000 points. But then I drew it, and woohoo! 32,000, I'll take it. Nice start for League Sen. But I think since April, I don't think I've had any limit hands anywhere, at work or...
I had one on Fight Club last month.
Oh,
I
nice.
Think I mentioned that. It was the... I did mention it on the podcast.
I think I remember that now. Which one was it?
It was small wins and all Honors.
Oh, honors.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, the small wins don't make such a big difference after.
No, it did. It was double Yakumon.
Oh, so it was all... It was big... Oh, small wins. Sorry. I was thinking...
Four small wins.
Yeah, I was thinking small dragons, but yes. My bad. Wow, very nice. Very nice. You gotta love the double Yakumon, because in our league... We do not have the double limit hand. We even if you do have a sort of what qualifies as a normally double limit hand, in league we will only get one single limit for it.
Right.
Let's see. One other funny thing we did this week was we went and watched the World Cup with all of our JPML buddies.
That was fun.
Good times, good times. And it would have been greater times if Japan had managed to just put any of those shots in. God, they had so many good attacks.
Yeah.
It was really disappointing to see them play such a great game and come away with it with a loss. From it with a loss. And I feel like Paraguay, after a while, they were the ones that were attacking better first. Mm. And Japan was kind of back on their heels. And then Japan kind of turned the tables. And I feel like Paraguay at some point may have realized, we are not going to win this game on attacking anymore, but I bet we can win a PK kickoff. And I think they were just playing for the PKs after the first half. I don't think they were playing to win. I don't think they were playing to put a shot in anymore. I think they were just playing to go to PKs, because they were totally on their heels for the whole rest of from the second half on. It was just Japan's attack. I felt like Paraguay had a couple okay. sojourns here and there
I think you're just too smart. You want to make everything so complicated.
All right. Well, it's true that I am too smart, but...
But I think that really it would be too risky for them to really just put it on the PK.
Well, I don't feel like they were... They certainly weren't attacking very well after the first half.
That might be true, but I would probably attribute it more to tiredness.
Yeah.
And altitude.
And you know something I heard about the Japanese team, something that probably helped them a lot, was that their coach had them practicing at high altitudes.
Really?
Which was, they did that because the games that they were playing were going to be at high altitudes.
Right.
And it does take a while to get acclimated to, high altitudes and different temperatures. And that's probably something that helped the Japan team out. Sorry, that's me hitting my chair. It's probably something that helped them out in their first couple games against other teams that were not acclimated yet to the situation.
I would attribute it more to that. I don't think there's any team that plays to get to the PK. I'm sure it's possible, but I just think it's too risky. Why would you want to put it on that?
Because perhaps they felt like going for goals was going to be even more risky.
I don't think. Given their performance in the first half, it wasn't more risky for them to go for goals.
Yes. Well, yes. All that said...
I think you're wrong, okay?
Yes. It was fun hanging out with the JPML kids, seeing a couple of them brought their girlfriends, and you say, well, look at that guy. He's going for it. Well
done. Stop hitting your chair.
Sorry, that's my chair. It's my chair hitting me. Hitting back. And so, yes, we will be... Not so excited about the rest of the World Cup, but still rooting for good games.
Yeah, no, it was really fun. It was mostly the same group that I went with last time, and you couldn't make it. Minus Setokuma.
Yes.
And plus Aisawa this time. Our friend Aisawa came.
Yes, and we all got to go over to her bar around the corner.
Yeah, and I don't think we haven't mentioned our diet bet, have we?
Oh, yes. And she is also one of the people with us on our diet.
So we went to the party to watch the soccer game.
And sit down right in front of us. Hey, pizza, I'll have some of that. And then you barely saved me from spending 1,000 yen on one piece of pizza.
So we have a bet. It's Ayasawa and Garth and myself and Okawa and a guy named Izumi who's in D3. Right, so we have this bet going, and we have to lose a certain amount of weight by August 1st. I'm going to lose 3 kilograms.
I am planning on losing 4 or 5, depending on...
Right, Aisawa is losing 3, Okawa is going to lose 8.
Wow.
He's mostly given up already, and Izumi is going to lose 5, I think.
Huh. What I really want to do is get myself back down to a normal body fat, which I think at this point is probably over 25%. And when I was playing Frisbee, I think it was closer to 15. Because, whew, I have quite the spare tire going on here.
Yeah, my jeans aren't fitting quite as well as they used to, so I've been starting this diet.
So, yeah, just to clarify on what I was talking about with the pizza there, one of our penalties for eating food that is on a banned list is you have to give 1,000 yen to the ending prize pool.
Right.
And pizza, among other things, is on that list of banned foods. And
French fries. There were French fries.
Yeah, there were also French fries there, too. It was a close call on...
All the French fries were just right in front of us, you and I.
That's true. They didn't
have
the big old glop of mayonnaise on them. yes, so we gotta work on our diets now, too. So, yes, that is that was our World Cup with the Renmei peeps. We got an interesting letter from one of our listeners this week. They asked a question about how to get friends interested in playing Mahjong.
Right.
This is a good question, of course, very close to our hearts, because we are always trying to get more people interested in playing Mahjong. Have you introduced any new players to Mahjong lately?
No, not lately. Although there's many people asking me to teach them.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had that request a fair amount lately, too. I did put together one little study session with a couple people who asked me to. What is your advice for getting people interested to play who... all right, well, let's start with people who are not already asking you, because they're obviously already interested.
Right.
If you had people that are kind of like, you want them to play this game, but they're kind of like, I don't know, it's just this game I don't know. What can you do to try to encourage people to be interested in playing Mahjong?
Well, in Tokyo, there's not really anything you can do, because if they're like that, they're not going to come out.
Yeah, it's true. People who have grown up in this country, if they still don't like Mahjong, if they still don't have an interest, they're probably not going to gain one from you.
It's not just that. It's just that if you say, okay, let's go hang out on this day, there's not a lot of people with a lot of free time where they're just, like, follow you around wherever you go all day.
Mm.
I mean, I felt like in America there was a lot more times when we just like, okay, let's hang out this day. We don't know what we're going to do yet. And then you just hang out, and you end up playing Mahjong or something. And that doesn't generally happen in Tokyo. Unless everybody already knows how to play. But, I guess just have to invite them out to come. Maybe trick them into getting over there. Get them some pizza.
Yes.
Not us, though.
Okay, once people have already expressed an interest to play and you've gotten them to sit down at the table...
Okay, or you bribed them. Yeah,
yes,
got it. Yep.
You've bribed them all the way to the table. You've got a group of four people. Or maybe... Do you think you should start with a group of four people, or should you start smaller just to let the players that are new get a feel for it on their own?
It really doesn't matter,
uh-huh.
In my opinion. Whenever I start playing, I first just teach them what the shape of a hand is. So you need four groups in one pair.
Right.
And
so that's ignoring hand points.
All hand points. Right. Ignore all hand points. And then you teach them how the game runs.
Uh-huh.
So you just start playing. And they just try and make that kind of hand. And no matter what kind of hand they make, as long as it's the correct size, then you give them 1,000 points if they win a hand. And if they get hand points, then you give them all of it, and you explain why you're giving them points for these hands. Yep.
So, yeah, I think the key is to simplify the game to the point that it's not like just an information overload right at the beginning.
Right.
Like, I have to remember all these rules so that I can play the game. You want to make it as simple as possible, which means, first of all, taking out the hand points, you say, just teaching them what the shape of a hand is, and getting players used to putting together those four groups of three and one group of two.
Right.
And, of course, the other thing that really complicates the game is scoring. You don't want to introduce scoring for quite some time, because even for experienced veterans, we make mistakes still.
Right.
So, scoring is one of those things that I think Japanese Mahjong could do with a little bit of revision already. It would improve the game to have the scoring system revamped in such a way that it's not as complicated as it is. Because a lot of the things that complicate the scoring system in Japanese Mahjong almost never even come into play.
Mm.
like a thing like, say, above 70, above 60 base points. It really, how often does that happen?
Right.
For the vast majority of times, the only time you see a 70 base point hand is when you have a Kong of letter tiles or one or nine tiles, and that's it. And when's the last time you saw an 80 point hand?
Yeah, I can't think of any time, actually.
I can't think of ever I've seen an 80 or 90 point hand. And so, like, I keep wondering, when will the day come when there will be a 90 point hand and somebody will be like, oh, hey, pro, how much is this? And I'll be like, oh,
80 is easy because you just double 40.
Right. So 80, yes, 80 is easy, 60 is easy because they're just twice what the 30 and 40 point hands are.
Right.
But 90, I think I'd be like, oh wait, okay. So let's see, 8 times 9 is 720, and then I have to go through the whole formula to try to figure it out and round this way and that way.
That would be way too complicated. When you just think that, okay, so 70 is 2300.
Uh-huh.
And 80 is 2600.
So it'd be another 30? With 300?
Yeah, it's like 29 or 3,000.
Hmm. Yeah, but see, that... do we know, though? We don't know for sure. What if it was like 28? And you just thought,
I think it's 29.
I rounded up too much.
I think you triple 30.
Oh, speaking of rounding, this is a question that came up at the Mahjong probably the other day. In general... when you have, let's say you have like 15,500 points.
Right.
Does that get rounded up or down?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
So if you have, you're in third place with 15,500 points. When you're figuring out the amount, and that's at the end of the game.
Right.
So you're figuring out how much you have to pay the winner. Do you get rounded down to 15,000 or rounded up to 16,000 when you have 500 points?
It just depends on the place.
It does seem to depend on the place, but I thought in general you got rounded down.
No.
No?
In general, I think you get rounded up.
Wow. All right, so then it must be...
I think they round down the winners.
Because so up. Then I was thinking, so somebody was asking me, well, why do you round down? Usually, because the reason this came up is because usually, you know, in math, you would tend to round up.
Right, from five,
right? Yeah. And at the place we were at that time, you rounded down. And then people are like, why would you round down? And I think, I was thinking about, why would that be? I think the reason is because if there are two players that have 500, then that means they both, and it's not the winner,
right.
That means they both get rounded up. That money is going to come from the winner.
I see.
So the winner ends up paying a penalty because of the fact that two people had 500 points. And generally, you want to give the benefit of the doubt to the winner, right? First place, you want to make all the benefit for first place, that it encourages everybody as much as possible.
Well, first of all, that's not what benefit of the doubt means. Second of all.
did I say benefit of the doubt?
Yes. Second of all, I think that generally they take the points away from the winner in those questionable situations in Japan.
Interesting. Yeah. So the place that we were playing at, they rounded down for people below, out of first place. They rounded down for people at 500.
Mm. Well, in that case, it's going to be the same, though, even if there's two people with the same, they both have 500, and they both round down, it's going to go to the winner, right?
Right, they're both going to go to the winner. So. But if they both get rounded up, then that money is going to be coming from the winner.
Right.
Right? So...
I think generally people, like when we're playing sets, we take money from the winner to put towards the game fee, right?
Right. Or
I think that's a common thought process in Japan.
You could think of it as taking money from the winner, or you could think of it as taking more money from the loser.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because, you know, in a lot of situations, usually, you know, we play 1-2, which means 1,000, 2,000 yen. But
right.
When we play that way for the making... adding up money for the cost of playing,
right.
Then 2 still goes to the winner, but 3,000 comes from the loser.
Right.
Yes, well, it's all a matter of perspective, I guess.
I guess, so. Yeah, if it was 1-3, a normal 1-3, that money would go to the winner.
Right, it would normally go to the winner. All right, yes. So there's a couple of random topics we've put together there. And one other thing I was going to say about interesting your friends. Here we have all this talk about money at the end of the game. I think a lot of new players, that's going to be very intimidating to just jump right into the game and start playing for money. So right. You want to, you know, let people learn a little bit before saying, okay, now we're going to start making you pay for all those mistakes you're making. That's not going to be fun. You know, let people get into the game first, enjoy the game, and then once they have a little bit of knowledge under their belts, then, you know, when you say, okay, all right, let's try to make everybody better. And one of the ways to get better is to make losing painful, which is, you know, paying right. for your loss.
Yes.
But that comes later.
You got to think of it as a lesson fee.
Right.
And Garth and I don't gamble, by the way.
Yes, we don't gamble. We just pay for lessons. We are studying all the time.
Yes.
All right. That about wraps up my topics for this week's podcast. Any housekeeping issues? Let's see. We have another ReachMahjong.com Cup coming up this month.
Yeah, July 19th.
July 19th. Any of you who happen to be in Tokyo, please come check it out. You are still playing on Mahjong Club every week?
Yes.
No? Yes.
And
looks like we have a memory coming back here.
Yes, and also the Japanese site is up.
The Japanese site
yeah,
is up.
Yeah, the new one is up, brand new.
Any of the Japanese listeners, please come and check out our Japanese site.
Yeah, even if you're not, you can see we have blogs there. And so you can check out, I mean, you can always put them in a translator and get a little bit of insight on these pro blogs. But we have about eight or nine professionals blogging. We have their feeds on our site.
Very nice.
So you can go through those, and we're going to tweak it a little bit. There'll be pictures and stuff like that.
All right. Always new, interesting stuff.
Yep.
All right. So thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, give us a suggestion for what you'd like to hear us talk about, or just tell us what you think. I am Garth, Garthe, at ReachMahjong.com.
I'm Jen, Jenn, at ReachMahjong.com, and you can get this podcast on the website as well as on iTunes.
We are everywhere you want to be.
Make sure you get the new feed on iTunes. There's two feeds, so make sure you get the new one.
Oh, okay, to get all the new podcasts. All right, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya. リーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンス麻雀